idea. He's not really some sort of here. Because what does the Rambam say? If there's someone else with my father's name, I have to be Mishana his name. Right? Like my father's name, Josh, and your name is Josh, and when I talk to you, I have to say Mr. Gopin. So I shouldn't say Josh, and it'll look like I'm referring to my father. So the Rambam says you have to be Mishana Josh Gopin's name, because it's the same as my father. So, it's the Kesemish says, Sarach Ian, where the Rambam got this from. But the Chor, it's clear where the Rambam got this from. Where did the Rambam get the phrase Mishana Shemo from here? The Rambam understood in our Gemara that our Gemara didn't mean if you're referring to your father, you have to change his name. The Rambam understood from our Gemara, when it says Mishana Shem Aviv, you have to Mishana your father's name, whether it's referring to your father or someone else. The name of your father, you're not allowed to say, no matter who you're talking about, whether you're talking about your father or whether you're talking about someone else. So the Rambam's Mukar seems to be this Gemara. He understands Mishana Shem Aviv, that lav dafka when you're talking about Aviv, Shem Aviv, no matter who you're talking about, you have to be Mishana. Halach l'maisa, we're Mukar like the Rambam. Not only are you not allowed to say your father's name about him, you're not even allowed to say your father's name about someone else. When your father is around, when it might be misunderstood. If someone else is, again, if my father's name is Josh, I say Mr. Gopin. I don't say Josh. If I need to call him, I say Gopin, Gopin. I can't say Josh because that appears that I'm calling my father. The, right, so the, So the poskim actually discuss it. I don't want to get into all the halacha l'maisa just off the top of my head, but the poskim say that when you're identifying yourself, when you're identifying yourself, you're allowed to say your father's name because you're not because you have to like identify who you are, and that's not considered disrespectful. That's discussed in the I think the first Pisle Tshuva maybe in Siman Reish Mem. So they, it's not necessarily usher under all circumstances. The Gemara continues, Tana Rabban, Ezo Mora, Bezo Kibud. What is Mora and what is Kibud? Mora, lo omei b'mkoma, lo yoshi b'mkoma. You're not allowed to stand in your father's place. Again, nowadays, I don't know if we really have standing places, but in those days when the elders would get together to discuss things, everyone would stand in a special place. You're not allowed to stand in his place. You're not allowed to sit in your father's place. That's where we get the idea of sitting in your father's seat. Velo sosur, stavarav. You're not allowed to contradict his words. Velo machrio, and you're not allowed to decide his words. What does it mean, lo machrio? You're not allowed to decide his words. So this is a bit of a machlokes. Rashi seems to imply, although it's not so clear, that, well, machrio means to decide if there's a machlokes, right? My father says that, George Bush, the best president America ever had, W, the best president we ever had, and at the same time, is his friend Mr. Schwartz is saying Bush is the worst president we've ever had. So, what does it seem I'm not allowed to do? What does it mean? A Soser's Dvarav means to say, my father, you're wrong. What would be Nachuyas Dvarav? So Rashi seems to say, the other guy's right. And a Soser's Dvarav means to straight out make a stira. Nachuyas Dvarav means to make an indirect stira. I'm not saying my father's wrong, I'm just saying his opponent is right, which implies a stira. So Sosa's Dvarav is an explicit contradiction. Machrio is an implicit contradiction, right? If my father argues with, my father's Rabbi Schwartz, and he argues with Rabbi Goldberg, and I say Rabbi Goldberg's right, implicitly I'm saying my father's wrong. That's Rashi's shot. We are machmir more than simple shot and Rashi, at least. We hold like the Yad Ramah. The Ramah, quote in the Torah, says we don't actually have, well, a lot of the books of the Ramah we've lost. Most of the important psukim of the Ramah we know from the fact that he's quoting the Torah. The Ramah says, Machriya's Dvarav means even to say he's right. That's the Chiddush. Soser's Dvarav means to say he's wrong. Machriya means to say he's right. So if my father, Rabbi Schwartz, has an argument with Rabbi Goldberg, and I say, no, my father's right, even that's a chutzpah, because, as if he needs me to say that he's right. You know, what does that mean? It means I'm better than him, and I have to decide if he's right or wrong. I shouldn't even get to decide either way. So we paskin lemaisa, like the Ramah, unlike what Rashi seems to be saying, that Machriya is not a different kind of soser, like an implicit soser. Machriya is even to agree with him, it's chutzpah to agree with him, because it's like, I'm saying he needs me to agree with him, he's only right because I agree with him. No, I shouldn't even have an opinion. I shouldn't even express an opinion. Now, of course, there's a problem which all of the Achronim bring up, that if I'm not allowed to contradict my father, I'm not even allowed to paskin like my father, I'm not allowed to paskin against my father, not allowed to paskin like my father. So is that really true? Is that what we find? Right? Anyone know any famous father-son pairs in the history of Torah? The Torah and the Rush. So, does the Torah ever argue on the Rush? Of course he does. All over the place he argues on the Rush. People argue with their fathers all the time. Right? We find Chacham arguing with their fathers. Right? Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Shimon. So when Shabbos says Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon agrees with his father on some things and argues on other things. Everyone knows that Chacham argue. And it's hard to say that you couldn't. What do you mean? If my father paskin something is mutter, and I know that it's usher, I shouldn't say that it's usher? Like, that's ridiculous. You know, it's one thing if you want to say my father likes the Yankees and I like the Mets. So if you want to tell me shut up, don't have an opinion, I can understand that. But, you know, if my father says it's mutter to eat this food, and I know it's treif, so I shouldn't tell people it's treif? It can't be. So, what's shot? So all the Achronim were bothered. What do you mean in the sources, devar v'en machriyas devarav? What about all of Torah? Everyone argues with their father. No one's intimidated by their father. So, as a matter of fact, you even had beforehand, right? What do we have beforehand? That we learned, it's oivim bashar, the father and the son are enemies in Torah. So that doesn't bother so much. Maybe that just means they ask kashas and give terutzim, but they don't like say flat out I'm against it. That just means like they discuss it. Right? I ask a kash on my father. That's not saying he's wrong. But how about saying he's wrong? The Torah said the Rosh is wrong. The Tanarim said their fathers were wrong. So what's pshat? How you say maybe there's an umdina that all the fathers were mochel? In other words, normally Enos Sosa's Dvar of what father would be mochel, a son contradicting him. But for Amita Shel Torah, if the father was a gadol, right, then how could he be such a rasha as to like want people to know the wrong halacha? Obviously he wants Amita Shel Torah.
Right, and also, like, why would he care about that?
Okay, we'll have to see whether caring makes a difference. But you could say he's mochel, if we assume he can be mochel mora, right? Ha'av shemachel akvodo kvodo mochel. You're assuming he can also be mochel and mora, which is a reasonable assumption. So maybe all the fathers are always mochel. That's an interesting approach. The Gra and the Taz take a different approach. The Gra and the Taz point out that the Shulchan Aruch says, v'lo machriya es devarav bifanav. You can't be machriya his words in his presence. So the Taz and the Gra say that means you can't contradict him when in befanav. But you're allowed to contradict him shalo befanav. It's only chutzpah to do it to his face. But if he's not around, then it's mutter. So the Taz and the Gruz say, you know why the Torah argued on the Rush and Rabbi Lazar of Shimon argued on Shimon or Shmuel ben Osher of Yossi would argue on Yossi and all Gedolim throughout the generations argued on their father? Because they never argued to his face. They only argued like after he passed away or when he was in a different place. They only argued shalo befanav. And shalo befanav, it's mutter to be Sosur's Dvarav and Machriya's Dvarav. So that's the answer of the Taz and the Gra. Yeah? I can't say anything but fun of. While he's here, I can't contradict him to his face. I have to go someplace where he's not and tell people my opinion. Yeah, in Echanami. Taz and the Gra would say, if my father's right here, paskening it's kosher, then I can't, well, if people are about to do it, that might be different. That's Afrusha Misura. But then I can't get up and say it's treif. So I go to the next building and I tell people it's treif over there. Okay. The problem is this is against the Shach. The Shach holds that Sosur's Dvarav is Asur even Shaloba Funav. The Shach says, Machriya, agreeing with him is Mutter Shaloba Funav. But disagreeing with him is Asur anywhere. The Taz and the Gruz say it's always Mutter to agree, it's always Mutter to disagree. And that's why we have machlokas and halacha. The Shach says disagreeing is usher anywhere. If disagreeing is usher anywhere, then how could the Torah argue on the Rush? So this is a bit of a tzarich. You know, I'm not sure how satisfied I am with the answer. But maybe you can say what Noah said, there was mechila. Or the Prisha says a little differently. He says, it's only usher to argue on your father based on your subjective opinion. If he likes the Yankees and I like the Mets, everyone knows that's subjective. I'm not allowed to argue on him. Right, if, I don't know, he thinks that Avraham Avinu was the greatest person in the Torah and was the greatest of the others, I think Yitzhak was the greatest of the others. That's our subjective opinion, I'm not allowed to argue. But if I have an objective proof what the halacha is, then the priest says I'm allowed to argue. You know why? Because I'm not contradicting his words. The Torah is contradicting his words. The proof is contradicting his words. It's only us or for me to contradict his words based on my own subjective opinion. But if I'm objectively correct, then it's mutter for me to contradict him. And all these sons, like the Torah, every time the Torah argued on the Rush, he only argued on the Rush, not based on his subjective opinion of his feeling, but based on objective proofs in Torah. When your father's objectively wrong, then there's no isser for you to contradict him because he's objectively wrong. It's only usser if you think he's subjectively wrong. So that's an interesting chiddush. The Prisha says this isser doesn't apply to objective proofs, only to subjective proofs. Since subjective proofs, who am I to contradict him? If he's objectively wrong, then what do you mean, who am I? He's wrong. If he's wrong, he's wrong. It's not, you know, it's not my fault that he's wrong. So he might say if there are things that are subjective, then you have no right to argue on your father. Okay, what can you do? Could be that, and it could also be that, like, you know, if you really, most things in Torah, like, you could find an objective proof of your opinion, or you could just have a feeling what the right shot is. So the answer is, if you have an objective proof, that's one thing. If it's just a feeling, then don't contradict your father. Okay, look for an objective proof. Could be. Okay, so that's in terms of Losos or Stavara. Now, what does the Gemara go on to say? Kibud, what is kibud mean? Machlo, mashka, malbush, machasa, mach, nisum, botzi. You have to give him food and drink. You have to give him, clothing and machasa and I don't know, coats, bedding. Machdis, motzi. You have to bring him out. You have to supply his needs, right? You have to drive him around. You have to give him whatever he needs. So, the one thing we want to figure out now is the Gemara here gives examples of kibud and mora. Kibud means to give him food and drink and take him around and give him clothing. Mora means not to contradict him or stand in his place or sit in his place. Are these exhaustive lists? Right? That means everything else there's no mitzvah besides the things listed right here? What? L'chor or not. After all, what do we know is part of the mitzvah that's not on this list? What have we seen so far? Mishana Shemo. Okay. What else? Right, I should go to somebody and tell people to listen to me for my father's sake. Or I say, Arena Kavars Mishkavo and Abu Mari. Or how about Dumb Benesina didn't wake up his father? Right, or how about the case where told by retire phone, right, if she throws your wallet into the sea, you shouldn't yell at her. I mean, there seem to be a lot of other cases of Kibbutz and Mora, and these seem to be just examples. So what I want to just figure out then, maybe you have a theory, maybe you've seen a theory, is what is the Gemara trying to tell us through these examples? What is the actual difference, if it doesn't just mean these exact four or six things that are said here, but it's just examples, so what's an example of? What counts as Mora and what counts as Kavod? What is the difference? Is there two different mitzvahs that say? Everyone counts them as two different mitzvahs that say. What's the difference in the mitzvah say of Kibbutz of Aim and the mitzvah say of Mora of Aim? How do we know what's called Kibbutz and what's called Mora? What's the definition of the categories? Anyone have a theory? Right, based on this Gemara, what counts as kibud, what counts as mora? What's this example trying to tell us? Anyone? Should be stuff in the Bakara sheet. Sorry? So the Malbim, and he's not the only one. I think the first person to say this is the Korban Aron, which is the parish on the Sifra. Malbim is also a parish on the Sifra. But quite a number of Achronim say that it's a matter of passive versus active. All the things that are listed here as Mora are Shevi Altase. Don't, and don't. All the things listed as Kibbutz are Kumbase. Do, and do. So he says very Pasha. Mora, the Torah gives two mitzvahs. Mora means don't do bad things to your father. And don't do disrespectful things. And Kibbutz means do respectful, helpful things. Seems to be a fairly reasonable theory. Fit this Gemara very well. And the Malbim, the Korban Aron, and those Achronim even have a Mokar in the Rishonim. It's not a Rishon we have on campus, but the Rimi Lunil, Rav Yonas Rimi Lunil, says on the Mishnah Daf Kaf Tesemet Aleph, he says, an example of a lo saseh that women are chayven is Mora Avaim. An example of an aseh is Kibbutz Avaim. Now, I don't know if he literally means that Mora is a lo saseh. What he's saying is that Mora is effectively a lo saseh. Right, the Rabbi Lunil, a Rishon, it says explicitly, Mora is a lav, and Kibbutz is an assay. This is the first person. I mean, they didn't really have most Achronim didn't have the Rabbi Lunil. It wasn't published in the time of the Achronim. But Rabbi Lunil says that's exactly the difference. Kibbutz is positive things, And Moira is not doing negative things. So it seems fairly, fairly reasonable theory. What's the problem with this theory? Is there a problem with this theory? I mean, it seems like such a good theory. Is there any reason to have a different theory? So what is that hate from Kibbutz Avayim? What is the example of Kibbutz Avayim? Dumb and Asina didn't wake up his father. Hold on a second. If he didn't wake up his father, then that's a Shevi Al Tase. It's not doing a bad thing to his father. Why is that called Kibbutz? It should have been called Moro. What else is called Kibbutz that doesn't seem to fit this pattern? And Daf Lamed Aleph and Beis. What? Someone say Rabbi Tarfon? Yeah, not what Rabbi Tarfon did, but what did they tell Rabbi Tarfon? You haven't even reached half of Kibbutz. Because what's a real Kibbutz? What's a real Kibbutz, they told Rabbi Tarfon? When your mother does what? She throws a wallet of gold into the ocean and you don't embarrass her. Hold on a second. And you don't embarrass her. That sounds like Mora to me, right? Don't embarrass your mother. But yet the Gemara calls it Kibbutz. So we have two cases in the Gemara which are negative, Shevi Al Tase, not doing a bad thing to your parents, but which are called Kibbutz. So how does this fit the theory of Rabbi Yonasan and Lunil and the Malbim? So how do you fit it into this theory? Anyone? What do we do? How do we save the theory? I mean, this was said by Gedolim, right? Not just your theory. So Lechora, you could take a number of strategies. What's the cheapest strategy? Lav davka kibbutz. The truth is that the Raman, the Darkei Moshe, he's quoting the Shemuz Adesha and seems to call it Mora. Right? He's talking about the case of the wallet and he calls that Mora. So it could be, you know, everyone knows, like people say kibbutz avayim. And it's just a phrase. Maybe it's just a phrase. It's not used davka. Right? So perhaps you could say that kibbutz avayim is lav davka. And it really means Mora avayim. So maybe all these two cases where you did something negative should really be called Mora avayim. And not kibbutz avayim. Maybe kibbutz was lav davka. That's what the Raman, the Darkei Moshe, seems to imply. It's a little duck to say lav davka, but it's possible that you could say lav davka. The Mishnah Melech takes a slightly different approach. This is an explanation of the Ranach. He wants to say that kibbutz avayim is a kumvase and a shevi al tase. So he said that's very clear. He said, Mishmael says, left line and a half, Inim Asha Kosov, the kibbutz avayim of a kumvase vishevi al tase. Kibbutz includes both positive and negative. Hain dvarim brurin, the chalala kovet av yanami mora, daimish lo yisur estavarv lo yichwi estavarv ke yotzu bezeo pshita, the chalala kovet sharach nami shevi al tase. What's the Mishnah Melech saying? He's saying, it's like what we said, that mora means negative and kibbutz means positive, but with one slight tweak, kibbutz means both. Kibbutz includes both positive and negative. Mora includes only the negative. So anytime you do something good for your parents, that's kibbutz. If you refrain from doing something bad, that's both kibbutz and mora. So it's the same chiluk, just that kibbutz includes both, and mora only includes the negative. Now if you want to maybe, that's the second approach. Take a third approach to justify the chiluk of the Malbim and the Rav Yonasan Milunil. There's the Atzmas Yosef here, I think it's trying to get at something else. He's trying to say that maybe, really, you don't have to say lav davka, and you don't have to say kibbutz includes both. You can literally say whenever the Gemara says kibbutz, it means active. You're doing something for your parents. Whenever the Gemara says mora, it means passive. You are not doing something bad to your parents. So in the case of the arnaki, how would you call that doing something actively for your parents? Right? Is arnaki passive or active? We would think it's just passive. You're not embarrassing your mother. What's another way to view it? What? You're giving her a wallet of gold coins to use to get out her anger. After all, your mother needs to throw the gold coins into the sea, right, to express her anger. So what you're doing is you're supplying her psychological needs by giving her, even though she's taking it, you're really giving it to her. Maybe that's not passive. The Gemara doesn't mean you don't embarrass her. The Gemara means that by not embarrassing her, you're actively giving her a wallet of gold coins. Why are you giving? Because she needs gold coins. Right? If your mother needed milk to drink, and you gave her your wallet with money to get the milk, Wouldn't that be an active kibbutz ema kum vaseh? So too, if she needs to vent her anger and you give her a wallet of gold coins to vent her anger, then you're bekum vaseh, be mekayim kibbutz ema of doing something nice for your mother. So he has a reinterpretation of the case of arniki. It looks like it's shev el taseh, you're just not hurting your mother. But it's really kum vaseh, you're actively helping your mother by giving her your property to use to vent her anger. So maybe you could call that kum vaseh. He doesn't discuss what he'd do with Duma ben Sina. You know, how does he get that to be kum vaseh? And let's stay there also. Is Duma ben Sina that you're not waking him up? What's another way to look at it? You're letting him sleep. You're causing him to sleep. Right? You have every right to wake him up. And instead, you're causing him to sleep. So it could be, I know this is a bit of a stretch, but in both the case of the arniki and the case of Duma ben Sina, you could view it as positive, because it's not that you didn't insult your parents or didn't hurt your parents. It's that you gave them a hanah. You, in the case of the arniki, it wasn't literally active, but you let them take your wallet and get hanah with it. In the case of Duma ben Sina, you let them sleep on the bed and get hanah from it. So in those cases, you could say that it's not really passive, it's really active. You are arranging circumstances so that your parents can get a new enjoyment, can get some hanah. So maybe you could really keep the Malbim Schilek very strictly and claim that those cases are considered more active than passive.
Can you get rid of the Malbim Schilek?
Okay, let's come back in half a second. Okay, so hold that thought. So one way we've seen is the Malbim's way, which is really based on a Rishon of Yonasan Milunil, who says it's an active passive chiluk. The only problem is the Anakasha. There are some passive cases the Gemara calls kibbutz. So either A, say that the Gemara is Ladavka. B, say that it's not that kibbutz is active and mor is passive. Kibbutz is both and mor is only passive. Or C, say those cases look passive, but they're really considered active because you are giving things to your parents which they can use to derive more positive hanah from them. And that's considered active, halachically, even though you might not actually be taking the initiative. Now, that's a way of defending the Malbim's derech of Yonasan Milunil. But Ari wants to say there's a different derech you could say as well. Ari wants to say maybe the difference is not active and passive. The difference is like what you're doing here, what your goal is here. What do you want to say, Ari? Kibbutz includes hana'ah. You mean both positive and negative hana'ah, right? So let's call it hana'ah and tsar, right? Kibbutz is anything that helps your parents or doesn't hurt your parents, right? Now the Gemara makes perfect sense. Giving your parents food and drink is helping them is kibbutz. Honoring them by praising their names, by having people honor them in a town or saying zechuna lebracha or in kaharis mishkavo is being nice to your parents is kibbutz. Not hurting your parents, not embarrassing them, not waking them up is kibbutz. Kibbutz includes anything that benefits your parents in any way. Any way you can benefit your parents, whether you benefit their physical drives, or whether you benefit their emotional needs, or whether you benefit their honor, that's all kibbutz. So what's left for Mora? So what's Mora? Well, that might be they did care about in the Makta. I'm not sure the Makta's case is a good case, but what you're saying is that I love what you're saying. Kibbutz is helping your parents in various and sundry ways, whether positive or negative, in all different spheres and levels. Mora is something which your parents don't care about, which your parents don't need, which doesn't really help your parents. It's just Mora. After all, Eina Omei Bimkomo. Does your father care if you're Omei Bimkomo? I mean, you might have said yes, he'll be terribly offended, insulted, and hurt. But I don't know, who says your father cares? Did your father care if you're Yoshe Bimkomo? I mean, you could have said yes, but I don't know, maybe he doesn't. Does he care if you're Sosar Dvarav? Who says he cares? It might depend on the circumstances, right? But who says that it necessarily makes a difference to him if you're Sosar Dvarav, if you're Omei Bimkomo, if you're Yoshe Bimkomo, if you call him by his first name? And I don't know if this necessarily does anything for him. So Ari's saying that kibbutz is that which helps your father, which benefits or doesn't hurt your father. Mora is things which just demonstrate your fear. Mora, so kibud is, who's the kibud is ultimately, I think what you're saying is that kibud is free the father. So what's mora? Mo kibud is a din in the father. Mora is a din in you. That's what Ari wants to say. And you look in the Gemara, why are all these cases called kibud? So all these are nice for your father. Mora is very limited. It's only things that are not really helpful for your father, that your father doesn't make your father's life better, doesn't make your father's life not worse. It's just reminds you of your place and who you are in relation to your father. All the cases of Mora are all, what are all the cases of Mora in the Gemara? They all have one yesod, that you shouldn't consider yourself. What are all these cases of Mora in the Gemara telling us? What? As you shouldn't consider yourself equal to your father. You should recognize your place, that you're subservient to your father, that you're not your father's colleague. Okay, but before we get to another chiddush, let me just hold that thought for a second. This might be, I'll come back to you, what the Aruch HaShulchan is getting at. Kibud is to do things for your father. Mora is for you to know what your place is klape your father. This gets into a very big kakira. The Rav talked about very frequently whether mitzvahs were just maisa mitzvos or kiyum b'lev, right? The Rav believes that many mitzvos are not just actions, they're b'lev, right? The Rav asked, how come? Everyone knows on Yontif it breaks avelus. Says, why does Yontif break avelus? Because simcha beats avelus. Says, why? Simcha means you have to eat meat and drink wine, and an avos allowed to eat meat and drink wine. So why not just do simcha and avelus at the same time? You'll eat meat, you'll drink wine, and you'll sit on the floor, and and you won't bathe, and etc., etc. So the Rav says, no, silly. The mitzvah of simcha is not to eat meat and drink wine. The mitzvah of simcha is to be glad, which you express through meat and wine. The mitzvah of avelus is not to sit on the floor. The mitzvah of avelus is to be sad, which you express through sitting on the floor. The mitzvahs are belay. The expressions are b'maisa. So what about kibud ve'eim? Is the ikkar to feel the kibud and mora, or to do the kibud and mora? This is unclear. Do you have to, right? Is it to feel kibud and mora, or to do kibud and mora? So, what does the Aruch HaShulchan say? What's the answer? Exactly. Kibud is b'maisa, and mora is b'lev. That's interesting. There's a Chai Adam who wants to say that kibud is also b'lev. Kibud is you have to really believe that your parents are very respectable people. But that's not so commonly brought down. The Aruch HaShulchan says, no, kibud is b'maisa, just you do what needs to be done. Mora is b'lev. I think that works very well with Ari's Chiluk. Kibud is b'maisik, it's about what your father needs. It's about helping your father or not hurting your father. Mora is b'lev, it's about you knowing where you stand, not necessarily about improving the life of your, or the honor of your father. Mora is about who you are, kibud is about who your father is. And that's what he says, kibud is b'maisik. Mora is b'lev, you should have awe of your father and recognize that he's on a higher madrega. The Aruch HaShulchan also has a marker in the Rishonim. Because the smak, one of the most interesting sparm around, the smak, Sefer Mitzvos Katan. That's actually a nickname. Anyone know what the real name of the smak is? It's called the Sefer Amudei Gola. But, since there is another book called the Sefer HaMitzvos, which is very big, they decided it would be easier to just nickname the big Sefer Mitzvos the smak, Sefer Mitzvos Gadol, and this one, the smak, Sefer Mitzvos Katan. So, this is a nickname, the smak, Sefer Mitzvos Katan. He has a very fascinating way of dividing up the mitzvos. He divides them like up in the days of the week, because he figured that way you can chazer all the mitzvos every week. It's a very slim volume. Right, we learned from his Akdama, right? He says women should read it and they'll help know Allah. It's a very slim, just basics, very basic ideas. And he says, divides it up according to like philosophical categories, like how you do them. Mitzvos that are done b'lev, mitzvos that are done b'dibur, mitzvos that are done b'guf. And he says in mitzvah Zayin, he says, Sunday is mitzvos b'lev. Mitzvah Zayin is Mora Avaim. Tuesday is mitzvahs you do with your guf. Mitzvah Nun, number 7 on Sunday, is Mora Avaim. Number 50 on Tuesday, and the mitzvahs beguf is Kibud Avaim. So the Aruch HaShulchan also has a marker that we show in some Torah smack that, he doesn't say, he just puts Mora Avaim with mitzvahs lev, next to Yirat Hashem, and Emuna, and etc. And he puts Kibud Avaim with mitzvahs b'maisa next to Lulav. Things you do. So it's beforeish that the Aruch HaShulchan also has a makor in the Rishonim, and I think that comes out of the sugya. Kibud is all those things. Why is kibud ma'isa? It's the things you do for your father. Mor is belev, because it's the things you do for yourself. So that's the second way of understanding the yesod of kibud and mora. Mike? No, it doesn't have to be when he's there. It just has to be things that benefit him. Meaning I could mail him clothing in the mail, or I can improve his reputation. Wait, like which case you said?
In all the cases of Yira, not especially if the court decides to say anyone is not around. So if it's Dvarav, even after the room, you can't be close
with Dvarav. I mean, so Dvarav are things you might never even find out about, while Kibud are things that are directly in his presence.
Right.
Mora are things that have nothing to do with his presence. That's a little tricky, because what about the fact that it says Kibud Seharini Kaparis Mishkavo or Abba Mori Zakorn L'chayolim Hava? L'chori's not present then. Or if I go to a town and I say, do it for my father's sake. Chori's not present then.
Wait, that's a demography. Those aren't in the list. So when the Gemara gives the list, the name of the category, you have to say that. It's lav dafka.
Okay, but then you have to say, if you want to say it's lav dafka, then ain't a chanam. If you want to say it's lav dafka. But, you know, if we don't want to say it's lav dafka, we can just say, keep it are things that are nice for your father, or not bad for your father. Doing your father a favor. Well, more is things that I'm doing your father a favor, just knowing in yourself what your place is, it's a kiyum believe. Now, the last thing I just want to discuss is the Rambam. The Rambam brings down, if you look on sheet 19, in Perek Vav of Hilchos Mamrim, says, what is Mora, what is Kibud? Says, Mora is, lo omi yukomu, lo yoshim yukomu, lo sosis varav, lo achriyas varav, you shouldn't call him in his name, etc. Kibud is machlo, mashke, malbus, mechase, etc. And then he says, and to stand up for him. This is a very funny Rambam in Zion. Ad heichan u kibud avayim. If everyone could just read with me, Perek Vav alach hazayin. How far does kibud avayim go? What's the extent of kibud avayim? Now we know what the answer is. They told him to retire from that, and the Rambam brings it down. Filu natlu kishol zehuvim shalov v'shlichu b'fan of l'yam. Even if your father took your gold and threw it into the ocean, lo yachlim lo yitzar b'fneim, you shouldn't embarrass them or cause them any anguish. Lo yichos k'neg them or get mad at them. Eli yikavu k'zeh tzkash v'yishtuk. You should just accept it and shut up. And how far does Mora Avayim go? So he takes another story, Dum Benesina, the second Dum Benesina story, and understands that the apex of Mora Avayim. How far is Mora Avayim? Afilo yalovish begodim chamudos v'yosev rosh v'neakal. Even if you were wearing beautiful clothes and sitting in an honored place, like you were the chairman or the president in front of everyone, uba'av v'imo v'kar v'godav, and your parents came and ripped your clothes, v'kubarusha and smacked you in the face or hit you on the head, v'york in front of spit in your face, lo yachlimem, you shouldn't embarrass them. Lo yishtok v'yira v'fachid, you should be quiet and just fear me. Melech ha'chemlach Hashem, since Yevobakach, who commanded you in Mora Avayim. Sheila melech b'asav adam, gazol of davar shimitzar, yosem yizelo ha'yoch l'farchis b'adavar. Kavachom, lo yisha amr v'ayolam kirtzon. Okay, gives you a little musr. You should just have yiras Hashem. If a melech b'asav adam, right? If the king of, of Saudi Arabia or something, just was mitzavi you a much worse punishment than this, then you wouldn't be able to lift a finger. What could you do? He's a king. So kavachom, if Hashem commands you. So that's what the Rambam says.
Is it true that there was still a branch of Kamala?
I will get to that. That's our next topic. So just hold that thought for tomorrow.
In connection to the fact that they take your ball and throw it to the sea, wouldn't
that be something? That's the most famous kasha in the Rambam. Good. You're Mechavin too. The most famous kasha in the Rambam seems to go against the whole Gemara. Okay, hold that thought. That is the $64,000 question for tomorrow. Mirtz Hashem, hopefully, optimistically. That's an excellent question, beautiful question, but we're not going to answer it now. Now, what's funny about this Rambam is, the Rambam's teaching you how far, what is the ultimate kavod? What is the ultimate mora? And what's the problem in this Rambam? The ultimate kavod and the ultimate mora seem to be the same thing. Right? Kavod means even if your father's really, really, really bad to you, you shouldn't embarrass him. You shouldn't yell at him. And Mora means, even if your father is really, really bad to you, you shouldn't embarrass him and you shouldn't yell at him. It's a little unclear what's the difference in the Rambam. I mean, he does describe some subtle differences. But what ultimately seem like the exact same things? Why do you have to tell us twice? At Heichan Kavod, at Heichan Bar? I mean, we like to think the Rambam wrote the Mishnah Torah in a very careful fashion. He really actually meant to say what he was saying. It wasn't just Stam Varfin. So if he meant to say it's the same idea, he would have said, how far does Kavod and Mora Abayin go? Even if your parents do the worst things in the world to you, you shouldn't yell at them and embarrass them and hurt them. Okay, but no, he says, Kavod, the ultimate Kavod, the quintessential, not quintessential perhaps, but the ultimate Kavod is this. The ultimate Mora is something else is that. They seem to be the exact same thing. So what's shot in the Rambam? It bothered me. I haven't slept for nights. As there's something to it there. As what you're saying is in Kavod, it's just like, you know, okay, so you let it go. In Mora, it's like, you know, you let them be mevaza you. It's like putting yourself in your place. So maybe that's the chiluk. Is it somehow? I don't know if the Ram will see in a moment. I don't know if the Ram could say the Aruch HaShulchan that Mora is belave. Why would it be difficult for the Ram to say Mora is belave? So what does Ram say in mitzvahs? Anyone know the two types of yira? What are the two types of yira? Yiras Hashem. What are the two types of yira? In philosophy. Yiras Ha'onesh and what's the other one called? Yiras Ha'ronimus, right? Right, we know sometimes like yiras, a lot of the already in Rishonim want to say, you know, sometimes yiras conceived as like a lower madrega, sometimes it's conceived as a higher madrega, so they want to say no. There are two kinds of yira. There's yiras ha'onesh, you're afraid of being punished. That's a little lower madrega. I mean, why we should all keep the whole Torah kula yiras ha'onesh from being good shape. That's still the lower madrega, the nava. Then there's yiras ha'ron, which is just awe of the greatness of Hashem, which is the higher level of yira. So, what kind of yira is mora ava'im? The Aruch HaShulchan would say, it's kiyum b'leiv. What kind of yira is it? Yiras ha'ron, you should just know that they're like above you. What does the Rambam say yira is? He says it's yira sa'onish, which is in Sefer Mitzvah. He says you should treat them as someone you're afraid will punish you. You should walk on eggshells, like as if they could say off with your head. So the Rambam seems to, very interesting, he says you don't have to be yira sa'onish for your parents. After all, he says, maybe who says your parents are so great? He says yira sa'onish, but it doesn't matter, right? No matter what you think of the king, you're going to have the same respect because you don't want him to say off with your head. Right? So he says, it doesn't matter if your parents are good or bad. Might work very well. Shittase, he says, there's a chiyuv of kibud av aim by Aviv Rasha. It doesn't really matter what your parents are. You have to have yiras ha'onesh of them. So I think it might be a little hard to say that's a kiyum belev, because how can you say I have a kiyum belev of yiras ha'onesh? I mean, they can't really punish me. But nonetheless, you want to say maybe that yira means, even if it's not a key belief, yira means knowing the hierarchy, knowing your place, while kavod means doing nice things for your parents. And therefore, the first one is you don't embarrass your parents a nice thing. The second one has an aspect of like knowing your place as well. I think that's possible. Okay, interesting. The truth is, the Atzmas Yosef wants to say something, which I think is a little duch. He wants to turn the Rambam into the Malvin. He says, in the first case, you're giving your father gold. So you're actively supplying his needs. That's kibud. In the second case, you're just not reacting. So that's just mora. You're not giving him anything. You're just not reacting. So that's mora. That's the Atzmas Yosef. It's in the Kovetz. The first one, Kedushin wants to say the Rambam holds like the Malvin. Passive versus active, letting him have the gold wallet is active, but letting him beat you up is just passive. It's not a thing you're giving him to use. Yeah, it's a little funny to me. Like, why can't you say you're giving him your clothing to use? So he says, okay, the clothing, have it spit in your face. Why can't you say you're giving him yourself to use? I guess he says, no, money is something you give someone to use. This is just something you passively accept. I'm not sure that it's so strict. But that's what he wants to say. I'll take what Ari and then I'll say.
Maybe the feeling is that for the second case it's in front of everybody else, and maybe it's we have to present fire to the world, sort of.
Like, so kibud is how you treat your father. That's I think one of what Willie was saying. How you treat him yourself.
Yeah.
Mora is how you show him to the world.
Keeping up his reputation
in the world. And that's a little tricky because of the Gemara and the Rambam seems to say that when you go to a place and you say, do it for my father, that's kibbutz. Which does not seem to match so well, but it's possible. So we have different theories in the Rambam. Again, A, it could be his passive active like the Malbim. But it's a little dachuk, you have to say, letting him for your wallet is active. Letting him beat you up is passive. It could be that it's a matter of for himself versus his reputation in the world. Although that's a little dachuk because the Rambam does say, and hey, the chayv lekabdo afilu achermoso, that's clearly for the world, right? So that's, I don't know how well that works, so maybe theory two is what Jason wanted to say, kavod is doing nice things for him. Mora is sort of knowing your place, and the first one's just, okay, it's not being mean to him, but the second case is really letting him be above you. It's a little funny, because in Gimel he seems to include kavod standing up for him. But Omei be part of the end of Gimel Kadesh, Omei be Rabo, we call that Kavod. So Omei be part of, I don't know, I'm not sure exactly where that would fit. Okay, it's Esher. I just take Rafi and then I'll tell you what I was thinking.
Yeah, maybe it's just in reaction to the first question of the Kavod, the fact that he has to, like Shiva Kodah, that he's giving Kavod to his father by his reaction. The second one, he's having a specific pacha, the first one.
Aha! The first one, you see, that's I think that the Ram didn't just write that as Musar. I think I agree with Rafi. The first one, what did the Rambam say? Just accept it and don't do anything. The second one, what did the Rambam say? You have to have yira and pachad. Right? Now, even more than that. In the second one, if you think about it, what's he saying? What's the difference between what the father did to you in the first case and what the father does to you in the second case? In the first case, when your father destroyed your money, he threw it into the sea. So, he's hurting you by destroying your money. He's not like doing something to punish you. In the second case, what does the Rambam say your reaction has to be? You have to have yira and think what? What are you supposed to think in the second case? You're supposed to think that what your father did to you is like an... What? No, he doesn't say there's gossip. It's like an... What? It's like an onish. Right? If the king was gozer on you, this onish, he says. Right? Then you wouldn't be able to say anything. The second one, you have to treat it like an onish. What's the Rambam saying? The first case, I think, according to the Rambam, kavod means a positive relationship. Yira means yiras ha-onish. For the Rambam, specifically, mora means yiras ha-onish. And I think the Rambam's chiluk is this. In the first case where he throws your wallet into the sea, that's not done as an onish. He's not throwing your wallet into the sea to punish you. Your father's not doing it to be mean to you. Never says he's doing it, throwing your wallet into the sea to put you down. He's throwing your wallet into the sea. It happens to be that it costs you a lot of money. But the first case, your father's not giving you an onish. So what are you doing in the first case? You're just being nice to him by letting him get away with it. That's kavod. In the second case, your father's giving you an onish. He's tearing your clothes and embarrassing you in public and spitting in your face and smacking you in the head. Your father's being ma'anish you. So what's the chiyav? The chiyav is to have yira. And what does yira mean? The Rambam says, Rambam, tell me what yira means. Yira means to accept the onesh, and that this is the onesh which is coming to you. He didn't say to accept that it's what you deserve. Of course you don't deserve it. But to accept that when you get an onesh, and nothing you can do about it. Whether I'm right or wrong, if the court says I go to jail, I go to jail, and there's no point fighting it. There's no point, I mean, I can be sad, but there's no point screaming about it. Because if that's what the king says, then that's what the king says, and I'm stuck with it. I think for the Rambam, it's meduyak, that the ultimate kibud is being really nice to your father when it's very difficult. But the ultimate, that's when he caused you a loss of a lot of money. The ultimate mora, if mora is specifically about yiras ha'onesh, then mora refers only to things that have to do with yiras ha'onesh. So what's the ultimate mora? The regular mora is to act as if they could theoretically punish you. The ultimate mora is to actually let them punish you, is to actually accept the punishment from them. Because that's more so than just treating them as if they would punish you, is to actually accept the punishment from them. And that's why the Rambam is very meduyak. He used an example, which is a clear onesh. It's not just they threw your gold coins into the sea. We don't know why they threw them into the sea. Didn't have to be because they were mad at you. Here the case is that they were actually mad at you and they did something bad to you to punish you for annoying them or for whatever it was they wanted to punish you. And the chi of mora is to accept the onesh, to be yore, and understand that even though it's not fair, that's life and this is your onesh and you can't argue with an onesh. So I think it's very midoyik in the Rambam that the Rambam, he must have started with what's ultimately Yira about. He didn't want to accept it was Yira Saromulus. Right? He was not necessarily Mikabel that it's Yira Saromulus. Why do you have to have Yira Saromulus for your parents? He said it must be Yira Saonesh. And if it's Yira Saonesh, he was a noob shot. Yira is specifically Yira Saonesh. Kavod is a positive relationship, is a relationship. And Yira is Yira Saonesh. So Soser is the Vara of Omid and Komor are all things which, according to the Rambam, which you don't do because you're afraid of being punished. Things that evidence a fear of punishment. And therefore, the ultimate kibud is to not hurt your parents. The ultimate Mora is not, he doesn't concentrate on not hurting your parents. He uses four words for not hurting them. Lo yachlimam elo yishto. Or maybe even just lo yachlimim. In the first case, the kibbutz says lo yachlimim, lo yitzar vifneihem, lo yichos aleihem, all the things that you shouldn't hurt them. In the second case of Yireh, he just says lo yachlimim. He doesn't concentrate on not hurting them. He concentrates on the next 30 words for how you should envision as if it was an onish from them, and as if a king gave you an onish and you can't complain. Ultimately, who do you have to focus that on? On Hashem Melech Machiam Lachim, because your parents really are not kings. Only Hashem is the king. But I think it's very midoyik in the Rambam that the difference in these two cases is that one is just a matter of relationship with your parents. The second is specifically the highest yiras ha'onesh, which is actually getting an onesh from your parents. That if your parents punish you, you have to accept the punishment, and that's the ultimate mora of v'aim. Sorry, you gotta talk louder. So why is standing up for your parents part of kavod? So standing up, as for the Rambam, I would go so far as to say even, the Rambam's kavod is very fascinating. What does he say about kavod? He says, the last line of Gimel, umotzi umachdis, starting from the middle of the last line, ki mishamshel b'shar dvarim shashamashim mishamshel mesarav, v'om v'panim k'der shu om v'nei rabo. He keeps talking about a rav. You should treat them as your master. Like a Rav, like someone you respect, like you should have a relationship of respect with them. For the Rambam, the whole issue, which other people might have called Mora, of a relationship of respect, of standing up for your parents, of treating your parents as a Rebbe, of looking up to your parents, and admiring your parents, and being great, you know, all the things about relationship to your parents are all included and covered for the Rambam. Mora is only those things which evidence that you're afraid of being punished by your parents, which you're not really, but as if you're afraid of being punished. Now, why can't standing up for them also be included in Mora? So I don't know, do you always stand up for someone who you're afraid might punish you? I don't know, not sure. After it might also. But I think for the Rambam, one thing is clear. Mora seems to be about Yiras HaOnesh, and it's a big chiddush of the Rambam, but that's why the ultimate example is accepting an Onesh. What? Yeah, for the Rambam, I think Yiras HaRomulus might be included in Kavod, if he requires Yiras HaRomulus. But at least whatever approximate of Yiras HaRomulus, treating them as a Rav, is part of Kavod. I mean, I don't know if you'd go so far as Yiras HaRomulus, but something along those lines, maybe not quantitatively as big, but all part of Kavod. Yeah, for the Rambam, what you thought was Yira might be part of Kavod. Yira is Yiras HaOnesh, which is an interesting chiddush that the Rambam says. The Rambam has to interpret Yira as Yiras HaOnesh. But that's how the Rambam interprets Yira, and I think it's very midoyik in this example. It's really, I think, the only way to really properly understand this case, not the only way, but the only midoyik way to properly understand every word in this Rambam is that Yira has to be related to an onesh, while kibud is not related to an onesh. And then the whole Rambam, I think, in Aleph Zayin makes perfect sense. I think that's found in the Rambam. Lamaisa. Now, okay, Shir is supposed to be over, but just so someone won't say that I gave it a whole Makorashi today and we didn't even start it, so the most important question is, of course, Halacha Maisa, do you have to stop listen to your parents? That's not anywhere in the Gemara. You have to do whatever they say, and we'll have to discuss that and tie it into our sugya a little tomorrow. So don't say I didn't get the sheet 20.
Perhaps this is the time I was saying before with the Felix. So, if you look...
What do you think of the Rambam, Jason?
If you look in the Kitzes, I certainly think in the list it works out very nicely, that the idea, and especially that's why I think like the Shach was forced to say that Sosa Goro, even when he's not around, would be the same thing, because that's exactly what Yira is, especially if you want to compare Yira's Akiva Abayim to Yira's Hashem. This is a similar idea. This is also like more direct, and even when you're not obligated to do something, even to go above and beyond that. So it even works well with the wallet case, because then again, or to waking them up, that'll be directly to the parent's going to be the direct recipient of when you wake them up or when you.
But how does it work for this case?
So that's the only case, but that's why I think it's very.
Unless you want to say that case is loved up.
But it's not so difficult to say that, because if you look at the Lashon, it's a Tanrabam Kavda Bechayev Kavda Bemoso. It's just trying to tell you. Because this whole idea of kivud applies both when he's done his life. It's not trying to spell help you. It's, I don't think it's in dachuk to say that, because it's just trying to tell you this idea that applies even after death.
Right.
It's not like, whereas here, when it's trying to lay out what it is.
And that's similar to Shnin Menarcha Shulchan Derech, another. Right.